Chapter 12. Miss Pross Meets Her Brother. While these terrible events were happening at home, Miss Pross was out shopping with Jerry. After buying some food, she wanted wine to take home. Inside the wine shop, a few men in red caps were smoking or playing cards. A couple of customers had fallen asleep with their heads on the table. While Miss Pross was waiting for the wine, a man stood up and passed her. As soon as she saw his face, she screamed. Everyone jumped to their feet, but all they saw was an English woman and a man who looked French staring at each other.
"Oh, Solomon, dear Solomon," cried Miss Pross. "I haven't seen you for so long, and then I find you here."
"Don't call me Solomon. Be quiet," the man whispered in English. "Come outside with me."
Miss Pross did as he said, but began to cry, upset by her brother's unkind words. Jerry followed them.
"Who's this man?"
said Solomon, looking at Jerry.
"Mr. Jerry Cruncher,"
said Miss Pross through her tears.
"Let him come too," said Solomon,
and he led them to a dark street corner. Here he stopped and said,
"Now, what do you want?"
"How cruel you are, Solomon, when we meet like this after so long,"
cried Miss Pross.
"I'm not surprised to see you," her brother replied. "I knew you were here. I know about most people here. Now, tell me what you want and let me go. I've business to do."
"What?"
cried Miss Pross.
"My English brother has business with foreigners?"
"Will my own sister get me into trouble?"
whispered Solomon angrily.
"No, I've always loved you, but I'd prefer never to see you again than get you into trouble,"
cried Miss Pross.
"Say one kind word to me and we'll be gone."
At that moment, Jerry stepped forward.
"May I ask if your name is John Solomon or Solomon John?"
he said.
"Your sister calls you Solomon, but I know that you're John. And Pross wasn't your name in England when you were a witness at the Old Bailey. What was it?"
"Barsad," said another voice.
The speaker was Sidney Carton, who had suddenly appeared at Jerry's side. Miss Pross gave another little scream.
"Don't be shocked, dear Miss Pross," said Carton. "I arrived at Mr. Lorry's yesterday, and we agreed not to tell anyone until I could be useful. Now, I'd like a little talk with your brother, Mr. Barsad, the prison spy."
He turned to her brother.
"I saw you coming out of La Force an hour ago and followed you to the wine shop. I understood from your conversation that you're a spy."
"What do you want with me?"
John Barsad, or Solomon Pross, asked.
"It's too dangerous to explain in the street," said Carton. "Come with me to Tellson's, where we can talk privately."
The spy thought for a moment and agreed. So the two men left Miss Pross and Jerry and walked to Tellson's, where they found Mr. Lorry sitting by the fire. He looked very surprised when he saw the stranger with Carton.
"This is Miss Pross's brother, Solomon," said Carton. "But we know him as John Barsad."
"Barsad?" said Mr. Lorry. "Where have I heard that name?"
"At Darnay's trial at the Old Bailey. He was a witness there," said Carton. He's a prison spy. But I have worse news. Darnay has been arrested again. This spy has just told me.
But I left Darnay safe at home 2 hours ago, cried Mr. Lorry.
Mr. Barsad knows it to be true. Darnay will be in court again tomorrow, and Dr. Manette might not be able to help him this time. So, I'd like to make an agreement with this spy, in case all else fails.
He turned to Barsad.
Mr. Barsad, you're now employed by the government of the French Republic, but you're still employed by the English government, the enemy of France and freedom. If the Republic knew this, it would be very dangerous for you, wouldn't it?
Barsad knew this was true. He remembered how the terrible Madame Defarge had knitted as he had talked with her at her wine shop. Now he knew she knitted a register of names. Names of people whose lives would be ended by the guillotine.
What do you want?
The spy asked Carton. You sometimes work as a jailer at La Force, don't you?
Barsad nodded.
Then come into the back room with me and we'll speak alone.
Some minutes later, Carton and Barsad came out of the back room and Barsad left.
What have you done? Mr. Lorry asked Carton.
Not much. If Darnay isn't freed tomorrow, I've arranged to see him in prison. It's all I could do.
But seeing him in prison won't save him.
I never said that it would.
Mr. Lorry thought of poor Lucy, and his tears began to fall.
You're a good man and a true friend, Carton said softly.
There was a feeling and respect in Carton's voice that Mr. Lorry had not heard before. He held out his hand and Carton gently pressed it.
Please don't tell Lucy about our conversation, or even that you've seen me. Are you going to visit her tonight? She must be very unhappy. How does she look? Carton said.
Yes, she is desperately unhappy, but still very beautiful, said Mr. Lorry.
Ah, Carton said sadly.
Light, then shadow, passed over his face as quickly as a cloud over a hillside on a bright summer's day.
I'll go to her directly, said Mr. Lorry,
and got up to put on his coat.
Will you go to the trial tomorrow?
I'll be there, but as one of the crowd.
Carton took Mr. Lorry's arm and walked with him to the Manette's house. There, he left the old man and looked up at the windows, thinking of Lucy. As he walked to La Force, he said to himself,
She came this way every day. Let me follow in her steps.
It was 10 o'clock at night when Carton stood at the corner where Lucy had stood hundreds of times. The woodcutter was smoking by his door.
Good night, citizen, said Carton. How goes the Republic?
You mean the guillotine? 63 heads today, the woodcutter said with a smile.
Carton felt a powerful wish to knock the life from the man and turned away.
You wear English clothes, but you speak like a Frenchman, said the woodcutter.
I was a student here, said Carton. Good night, citizen.
He walked away, and when he had turned the corner, he took a piece of paper from his pocket and wrote something on it. Then he walked to a chemist's shop and gave the chemist the paper.
"Is this for you, citizen?" the shopkeeper asked, looking surprised.
"Yes, for me."
"You must be very careful not to mix these things, citizen. Do you know what will happen if you do?"
"I know very well," replied Carton.
He waited while the chemist prepared several small packets and gave them to him. Carton put them carefully inside his coat, gave the shopkeeper the money, and left.
"There's nothing more I can do until tomorrow," he thought.
Thinking of the 63 who had died that day, and of tomorrow's prisoners who would be guillotined, and tomorrow's, Carton walked the quiet streets until it grew light. When he arrived at the trial later, he found Barsad and sat with him in a dark corner of the courtroom where he was hidden in the crowd. Across the room, Carton could see Mr. Lorry with Dr. Manette. Lucy was there, sitting beside her father. When Darnay was brought in, Lucy's brave look of love and pity seemed to give him strength.
"Charles Evrémonde, known as Darnay," called the president. "Enemy of the Republic, aristocrat whose family oppressed the people. Who denounces this prisoner?"
"Three people, President. Ernest Defarge, wine shopkeeper of Saint-Antoine. His wife, Thérèse Defarge. And Dr. Alexandre Manette."
A noise rose from the crowd. Dr. Manette stood up, pale and trembling.
"President, this is false," he cried. "The prisoner is my daughter's husband. Who says that I denounce him?"
"Citizen Manette, calm yourself. Listen to what is to follow and be silent."
Dr. Manette sat down trembling. His daughter moved closer to his side. Defarge was called and spoke of becoming Manette's servant when he was just a boy. He described how the doctor had been in the Bastille, was freed after 18 years, and given to him to care for. Next, he spoke of that day in July 1789 when the people had taken the Bastille.
"I knew Citizen Manette had been in cell 105, North Tower. I went up to that cell and examined it carefully. In the wall of the fireplace, behind a stone, I found a paper. Here is that paper, written by Dr. Manette, which I give to the President."
"Let it be read," said the President.